Welcome to another broadcast from Brother Jim Shaw Ministries. If you'd like more information or sermons, visit www.brotherjimshaw.org. Please stay tuned to the end of the broadcast for more contact information. And now, here's Brother Jim Shaw.
Hello, Christians. When you come to know the Lord in your heart, what does He do? What does He do to you? How does He change you? Well, I want to read a little story. John chapter 2. Verse 13, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out all the changers' money and overthrew the tables. And he said unto them that sold the doves, take these things hence, get them out. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And I will continue. Well, let's talk about this. This happened in the physical, gang. Can you imagine this? Our, what some call our meek little Jesus, actually going into a busy market, making a scourge, and basically tearing the place apart. That's what he did. He tore the place apart. Now let's talk about you. Because we know now that you're the temple, right? You and I are the temple of the living God. He says he lives in a temple not made with hands. Yes, you are the temple. What did he do to you? I believe he does this to every believer. I believe he does. He scourges the temple to get it cleaned out of the things of the world. The selling of the oxen, the selling of the sheep, the money changers, the bankers, the people in the market, all the commerce, all the things of the world. I believe Jesus does this to you and to me. He cleans it out. He cleans us up. You know, I can't understand, if you truly know the Lord and there's no change in you, I just don't know it. I mean, I'd scratch my head. Because how can you become a new creation in Christ? How can your world be turned upside down? How can you be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light? How can you have a new person running your life? It used to be Satan and now it's Jesus and there's no change. How could that happen? I'm not trying to use carnal logic. I just want that explained to me. I believe when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into you, when he cleans out the house, when he throws out all the things of the world in you and comes and abides in you, you are a brand new house. However, the temptations don't stop at all. If anything, they get magnified because you are in a war. You are in a battle. We're told to take every thought captive, military term. We're told that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, military term. We're told not to entangle ourselves with this world, but endure hardness like a good soldier, military term. We're warned that Satan comes to devour us like a roaring lion. What on earth am I going to do with these verses? Satan comes immediately to steal the word that is sown in your heart. We fight not flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness. Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. Gang, you got to believe God's word. There are entities that may have been living in you for generations passed down, generations, thousands of years. And by God's grace and God's miracle, you have been delivered. You have become a new creation. You and me both, and my knees practically are shaking even discussing this. You know, we're told it's better in the book of Peter that we never even heard the word of God than to hear it and go back. We're told that the devil's come back seven times worse. Seven times worse. We're told the Lord loves obedience better than repentance. Yes, he wants obedience more than he does sacrifice. He wants us to obey. And I don't even have to describe what obedience is, because when Jesus Christ is living in you, you have the law written in your heart. You know what's right and wrong. Yes, you do. All of a sudden, you have a new mind. You have a new conscience. You have the conscience of Christ. You don't have your own anymore. It used to be a conscience of selfishness. Have I won this little battle? Did I get this money? Pride, selfishness, rudeness. It's not like that anymore. But we are told not to conform ourselves to the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So your mind has to be on God's word. Your mind has to be on truth. Otherwise, your mind is going to literally be washed. We all know the term brainwashed. Your mind is going to be washed with this world system that ends up in the grave. And then all of a sudden, nobody even knows or cares you who you are. I've said it many times, other than the weed whacker in the cemetery, giving you a once a week visit during the summertime. He's it. You drive by these cemeteries, you see these old stones half broken. You can't even read them anymore. Nobody knows who they are. Nobody couldn't care less who they are. What a joke. But yet, at one time, everybody in that graveyard had a soul that the Lord says, what does it matter if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? That means at the very least, to you, to me, my soul is the most valuable thing in the world. I can't even put a number on it. I can't say my soul is 10 times more valuable or 100 or a trillion. No, it's so much more valuable than anything else. I don't have a word to explain it. It's second to none, your soul. Don't sell your soul like Esau did. Basically sold his birthright. Sold his soul for some porridge. Don't sell your soul, Mr. Adulteress, for a two-minute act that destroys generations. Don't sell your soul, Mr. Family member who cannot forgive somebody. Now remember, you can forgive somebody and still be surrounded by hatred. You really could, just as long as it's not your hatred. Just because you forgive somebody doesn't mean the story's going to change. You know that. But forgiveness isn't for the other party. It's for you. It lets it loose for you. When I forgive somebody, the forgiveness is for me, not for the other person. But let me continue to read here. This is after Christ has thrown everybody out of the market. And his disciples remembered that it was written, "The zeal of thy house has eaten me up." Then answered the Jews and said unto him, "What sign do you show unto us, seeing that thou does these things?" In other words, why are you doing this, Jesus? And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in the building, and you're going to rear it up in 3 days? But he spake the temple of his body. He was talking in parables here. There's no way they would have understood what he said. And you know, if you're not a follower of Christ, anything he says, you don't really understand any of it. You know, before I came to know the Lord as my Savior, I didn't know anything. Anything. I never thought about God. I never discussed God. It's almost unbelievable. I'm not saying I was anti-God, but he just wasn't in anything in my life. When I was a kid, it was, you know, sports and school. When I went to college, it was sports and school. When I got in the working world, it was my family, my kids, my job. You know, I wasn't a murderer. I wasn't a killer, but no God whatsoever until I had my experience. And repentance played a role in that. But Jesus here was talking about his own body. Destroy this body, and it'll raise up in 3 days. And that's what happens to us, gang. Our old man has to be destroyed. Our old man has to be destroyed. And we have to become brand new creations. Not revamps, not renewed, rehabbed, no. Absolutely destroyed, and we become brand new. You literally become a different human being. I lost all kinds of quote-unquote friends. They thought I was one totally loony, Jesus freak. You know the lines. Even though my soul depends on it, even though all of a sudden I could be trusted now, even though I wanted to be righteous, no, he's off his rocker. That's how the world is. Even to this day, 40 years later, people still label me that knew me. You know, the crazy kook, even though I totally changed, quote unquote, for the good. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, because if Satan is running the show, he hates anything to do with Jesus. And most people that you see, you go anywhere, your eyes set sight on somebody, most are led by the devil. Yes, because you're led by one or the other. We have whole countries led by the devil, pagan countries. Remember, anything other than a broken, contrite heart through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Savior who left his heavenly home, the Word of God, the Lamb of God, who died on the cross for our sins, who now resides in you and gives you a conscience. Without that God, there are no others. He is not tolerant of any God. He's not compromising of any other God. He wants the whole throne. And that's just the way it is. And I don't have to argue it. I don't have to prove it. I don't have to do anything. And if you don't want to hear about it, I won't tell you about it. I'm not going to cast my pearls before swine. And I'm told to go to the house, talk to people. If they don't want to hear it, I shake the dust off my feet. Not because I've arrived, but because Jesus Christ told me to do that. That's why. Plain and simple. Let me keep reading. But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture in the words which Jesus said. So I'll start wrapping this up, gang. Jesus goes into the temple and goes absolutely righteously wild, tipping over tables, setting the doves free, the oxen free, the sheep free, the money makers throwing their cash all over the place. And that was within the temple. And that's what the Word of God does to us. Yes, he totally disrupts our flesh nature. Yes, he does. And when he does that, let him. Let him. Many times it's his chastening. It's his scourging. He says he scourges those that he loves. Just like he scourged the animals here in the temple. We might be going through trials, tribulations. We're told that they're gifts. We're told they're more precious than gold that perishes, because it builds patience. It makes us tough. Resistance makes you tough, gang. Don't give in. Be tough. Be tough in Christ. Live the life of an overcomer. Jesus loves you. God bless you. And amen.
You've been listening to Brother Jim Shaw Ministries. If you would like more information or sermons, we can be reached at www.brotherjimshaw.org. That's www.brotherjimshaw.org. Or write to P.O. Box 690492, Vero Beach, Florida. You can also call 717-451-9767. Again, 717-451-9767. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you again next time for another broadcast from Brother Jim Shaw Ministries. To view more messages on Brother Jim's YouTube page, please visit www.brotherjimshaw.org.